Hello again, you're listening to the News at One. The cypress wood coffin containing the body of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI has been placed in the crypt at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome at the conclusion of a funeral mass attended by an estimated 50,000 mourners. His successor as spiritual leader of the world's 1.3 billion Catholics, Pope Francis, spoke of Benedict's wisdom, tenderness and devotion. "We pray," he said, "that having served as the vicar of your Son on earth, he may be welcomed by him into eternal glory." Hundreds of cardinals, bishops and priests took part in the funeral mass, which was also attended by the Irish ambassador to the Vatican, Francis Collins, as well as the Catholic Archbishop of Armagh, Eamon Martin, and the Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Farrell. They witnessed an event unique in history, the funeral of a former pope presided over by a living pope.
Together we want to say, Father, into your hands we commend
Benedetto,
his spirit.
Fedele amico dello sposo,
Benedict,
la tua gioia,
you faithful friend of the bridegroom,
nell'udire definitivamente per sempre
may your joy
la sua voce.
Be complete as you hear his voice now and forever.
Mary Maguire from Letterkenny in County Donegal delivered the second reading at the Mass from the first letter of St. Peter.
Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us a new birth as his sons by raising Jesus Christ from the dead.
Mary Maguire from Donegal, and we'll hear from her a little bit later because we're joined by our religion and social affairs correspondent Alva Keneally, who's in the Vatican. I know you've been talking to Mary, but before we come to that, Alva, as I said, this very much an event unique in Catholic Church history.
Yeah, it is historic for a number of reasons, but the biggest is, and you refer to it there, that this was a mass held at St. Peter's Square for a former pope by a current pope. And Francis was solemn and deep in prayer for much of it. And there was quite a bit of emotion in the crowd. They prayed and clapped during the ceremony. I mean, witnessing it here in Peter's Square, I would say it was poignant and somber. But at the same time, there was no major outpouring of grief. I think it was done in the way that Pope Emeritus Benedict would have liked. Of course, then he was brought to the crypt below the basilica afterwards, where he was buried in Pope John Paul II's tomb, who was removed on his beatification. But this is equally poignant because Joseph Ratzinger, as he was then, and Pope John Paul II worked together for about 25 years in the Vatican. So it just was a really interesting and an amazing ceremony to witness.
And the participation of Mary Maguire, how did that come about, Alva?
Well, we learned last night, and it was late last night, that a woman from Donegal would be reading from one of the liturgical readings at the Mass, and that, you know, everybody wanted to find out, well, who is this woman? And it turned out, yes, Mary Maguire. She's from Letterkenny. As you said, she read the second reading from the first letter of St. Peter, which centres around hope and promise. And she's quite involved in the Diocese of Raphoe, which is where Donegal is based. And I did get a chance to catch up with her afterwards, and this is what she had to say.
Monday morning, I was sitting in my office at work and I got a phone call from Father Kevin, just asked me if I would like to go to Rome and to read at the funeral of Pope Benedict. I got such a shock, and my initial reaction in my own heart was no. And then I talked with my family and they encouraged me. Go, this is a wonderful opportunity and it's such an honour, and I know myself now, it was such an honour. And today when I was reading there, I just had so much joy in my heart afterwards, real joy. Although it's a sad occasion, I just felt so much joy and an honour to be here. To be reading today, if you were given a choice of readings, it's certainly one that you would want. When you're reading there, it's an honour to be proclaiming the Word of God. And that was a beautiful reading today, to do that to the whole world.
Yeah. And how did it feel being up there? Because it's quite a setting and you're looking at quite a few people.
Yes, but strangely enough, nerves didn't get to me this morning at all. I was so calm, so unreal for me, because I normally would be a nervous person. I didn't look down at the crowds when I went to take up the reading. I just kept focused on my reading, and I didn't think it past where I was and what I was doing.
In terms of just when you learnt about this, presumably it all had to be kept under wraps. What was the story?
Well, it was moving very quickly, because when I got the phone call about 11 o'clock on Monday, we were flying out. It was to get a flight then, and we had to be leaving Letterkenny at 2 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday morning. So I didn't have a lot of time to talk to anybody or say anything. Trying to get stuff together, finish up things at work and that, so I didn't really have much time. And I mean, I was here in Rome by 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, so then we had a rehearsal yesterday afternoon, and it was just, time went really quickly from when I heard it.
And did you meet the current Pope, or was there any of that kind of access?
No. Yeah. I did meet Pope Francis 2 years ago.
Okay, very good. Yeah. So you'd be well used to reading at Mass, would I be right in saying that, Mary?
I am a reader in St. Eunan's Cathedral in Letterkenny, yes.
And I've heard you're a great person for, I suppose, St. Vincent de Paul and charity and just working on the ground in the diocese. Yeah. Would that be fair?
Well, yeah, I work with the homeless in Letterkenny, St. Vincent de Paul Hostel. I work out there, so I do a lot of charity work, yes.
Very good. So I think you're going to be in demand when you get home. How do you feel about it all?
We'll just take it as we go along. We'll not get excited about it.
Alva, many of those attending the Mass in St. Peter's Square this morning will have had, won't they, their own personal memories of Pope Benedict. And one of those, and you've been talking to him, is Monsignor Kevin Gillespie.
Yeah, so Mary spoke there about Father Kevin, and this is essentially Monsignor Kevin Gillespie. And he's the cathedral administrator of the Diocese of Raphoe, and he previously worked in Rome, and he was a personal master of ceremonies to Pope Benedict at the time. So he's the one who got the phone call to find a reader, and that's how Mary got involved. But I did get a chance to speak to him afterwards also. How did you feel about his passing?
Oh, it's very sad. You feel that you lose somebody very special, especially when one has known him and worked with him. And his gift of teaching to the church was just something that I think people hold very dear. And for those who worked with him and who saw his kindness and his very deep humanity, you feel that you lose somebody, yes.
Can you divulge how Mary ended up reading today? Or how were you involved in that?
These things are somewhat accidental. The Office of Celebrations was looking for a reader in English, asked if somebody was coming with me, and I thought of Mary, and mercifully she accepted to read.
Just a final question, Alva, in relation to what the passing of Pope Francis might mean for the pontificate of, or the passing of Pope Benedict might mean for the pontificate of Pope Francis, because there is some suggestion now that were he to feel the necessity to retire, that that would be something that is open to him now at this point that mightn't have been up to this.
Yeah, I think many people have been asking questions this week and reflecting on all of this. And it's fair to say that Benedict's death has offered that moment of reflection for the wider Catholic Church. It's already going through the synodal process under Francis, and that involves, you know, examination and reflection. But so I don't think he's going to go anywhere while that is happening. And indeed, you know, the last 10 years has pointed to the need for protocol to be devised when a pope retires. And this can't be ruled out, essentially, because, you know, these men are living longer, and it's likely that such a protocol will be a priority in the coming years, just to ensure that there's almost a rule book or something to draw from when events like this, reflecting, like, say, the events of the last 10 years following Benedict's resignation, happen again in the future. I can't speak for Pope Francis and say what's going to happen in that regard, but I do think I hear that he may lead consideration of such a protocol.
Very good. Alva Keneally in Rome, thank you very much for that.